I've had 4 babies, and never at any point in any of my OB appointments, my gyno appointments, like anything, do they talk, like they want to talk to you about, like, this is how you breathe through your contractions. Well, that's great, Sandy, but what do I do when I have the baby and then I feel like I'm like a shell of a human being and I'm like, I want to die?
It still hits, I don't miss it. It's go, 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 like a go, go flow. And I'm almost known, and I told y'all so. When I throw these flows, like a stroke chimbo. And I ain't too close, it's your small goals. And I'm on my grind, that is all the time. I do not do breaks, that's right, I stay in dry. And look, I'm back with a little bit of that. And a little more cash than I came in with. Ready, that cat is out that bag. But I still ask, the boy got skills. I don't need her, I don't need him. I don't need help with me, I got this. I can sing songs, I can spit raps. And I can do both, even do this, word.
This episode is brought to you by Anthracite Pallet Solutions. Need reliable, durable pallets to keep your business moving? At Anthracite Pallet Solutions, we specialize in new and used 48x40 wooden pallets. Whether you're shipping, storing, or stacking, we offer high-quality pallets that keep your operations running smoothly. With our own fleet of trucks and trailers, we deliver on time, every time. And if warehouse space is a concern, our drop trailer services have you covered. From custom orders to large-scale deliveries, we're here to meet your every need with top-notch customer service and unbeatable prices. We're currently shipping within 2 hours of Scranton, Pennsylvania, including Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, and Maryland. Call us today at 570-606-9206 or inquire online at anthracitepallet.com and let us handle your pallet solutions. Anthracite Pallet Solutions, built to last. Designed to move. This episode is brought to you by Sweat Tent, the pioneers of the portable wood-burning sauna. Did you know that using the sauna 3 to 4 times per week could reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease by up to 50% and make you 60% less likely to experience Alzheimer's disease? That's why I've been a big fan of the sauna for years. But having to go to a crowded gym to do it isn't ideal. And all the at-home options are bulky and expensive. That's why I only use the Sweat Tent for my sauna needs. It's the most storable and affordable wood-burning sauna on the market. It not only takes minutes to set up, but it can reach 200 degrees Fahrenheit in 30 minutes or less. So whether you're enjoying it yourself in your backyard, with friends, or in need of a reliable sauna on the go, Sweat Tent is your best choice for the most portable, storable, and enjoyable outdoor sauna experience. All On The Stacks listeners will receive $100 off when you use code OTS. Visit SweatTent.com today to get $100 off your purchase with code OTS at checkout. Again, that's SweatTent.com to get $100 off with code OTS. Sweat Tent, helping you fire up your home wellness routine. This episode is brought to you by FitAF. If you haven't already noticed, I live and breathe entrepreneurship. Whether it's launching new ventures, attending pitch meetings, or mentoring budding entrepreneurs, my schedule is jam-packed. And that's where FitAF steps in. Their menu changes weekly, offering a variety of chef-inspired meals designed by nutrition experts using only the best quality ingredients, keeping me fueled and focused. Their vast selection of meals has you covered for all types of dietary restrictions and diet plans, including keto, paleo, vegetarian, vegan, gluten-free, and more. As an On The Stacks listener, enjoy our exclusive offer. Get 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more when you use code OTS at checkout at fitafnutrition.com. Again, that's code OTS for 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more at fitafnutrition.com. Healthy meals and seamless nutrition, keeping entrepreneurs at the top of their game.
I'm terrible with technology, and that usually surprises people, because people will say, like, but you do, like, you're on social media, like, you're influencing on social media, like, how do you not know? I am a pen and paper gal to my dying day. Like, I have 45.
I set you up there. There
45.
You go.
I can't wait to take that home with me. Add it to my collection.
Yeah.
45 notebooks at one time.
Really?
One for, like, my...
Like all different parts of your life?
Every single individual part of my life has a different notebook.
Well, you did say in the message, you know, this was a couple weeks ago when we set this up, and you said, I remember you said in your DM, you said, I have a whole notebook of stuff. And I think it was
Yes, I have a notebook of, like, my thoughts, which is terrifying. I hope nobody ever finds it or figures out which one of my 45 notebooks that one is. Turn it in and, like, probably turn it into a book and make so much money.
I was gonna say, I hope you keep these, like, locked up somewhere.
That one I probably should, like, now that I'm saying this out loud.
Yeah. And everyone's listening. And I'm like,
now that everybody knows that I have that one of those notebooks exists, I'm gonna go home and put it in the safe.
Yeah, I should probably maybe put that one somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did. I had that the notebook on, you know, like all of these, all the things that I want to talk about that I'm like, I either can't talk about or like don't know how to talk about it or like what avenue or what platform to use to talk about. I have a notebook for, you know, my gardening. Actually, I have several gardening notebooks. I have notebooks on stuff for the house and different design stuff. I have notebook on, you know, just like random like poems that I fall in love with.
When did you start? Do you consider journaling?
Yeah, I'm in journalism major actually.
Okay. When did you like start like keeping like these notebooks like of doing this? Like is it kind of recent?
A couple years. Okay. I've been doing this for a while. I mean, and why? Probably more when I got into adulthood. I don't know. I think probably because my brain.
Just to process the thoughts.
I have so many thoughts going on in my brain all the time, all at once. I know we kind of like briefly had this conversation.
Yeah.
About like my raging ADHD. And
yeah, I hope everyone's gonna be able to follow along.
This is
yeah.
a terrifying place up yeah. here. And
most people don't get that.
No, there's no way to possibly understand it unless you have it.
I
guess, or maybe like a, you know, a professor or a doctor who has dedicated their entire lives to understanding
yeah.
that kind of like neurodivergent brain. But yes, it's chaos in like a lot of good ways. But like also some not great
yeah.
beneficial ways. But yeah, so like I started feeling so overwhelmed all the time by all of the things, all of the thoughts that were constantly going through my head and in so many different directions. It's not like I was just thinking or obsessing about like one particular thing. It was like I had like one thing going on and then I was like,
so then it becomes
thing,
becomes then it becomes another notebook and then another that, notebook.
Hence the 45 notebooks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Needed a different notebook for like every
different
individual
types of thoughts. Different types of yeah. So like you got the gardening one, you got the personal thoughts yep. one, you got the ideas one, you got the this, you know, yeah. Yep.
I have to
I get it.
And then people are like, do you have a computer? And I'm like, yes. They're like, why don't you, you know, use
like type it
like Microsoft Word or
it's not
I'm
the
like
same.
I it's not the same. Thank you.
It's not.
Why don't why do people talk to me like I'm like an idiot for just wanting
yeah.
a pen and paper.
Yeah,
and
I mean, I get it. Like, I do both. Like, I like both.
Well,
for, but for
do
different
on the
reasons.
Computer.
Yeah, but like, there's certain things like you just can't like some of the journaling things and stuff that you do. Like, I get it. You just can't put that on a computer. It's,
no.
I mean, you could, but it's not the same.
It's not the same release as
no.
like putting a pen to paper.
Yeah, it's night and day.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I feel like so many people always every time I'm like. Or my like, you know, my family or my boy, like when they see my notebooks, they're like, "What is this? Like, what are you doing?"
It's like, well, this is my brain. This is my life.
Yes, but a lot of people don't understand. Like, why don't you just put this all on your computer? Like, use a spreadsheet. I don't even know what a spreadsheet is. I see them.
Oh, they're the worst.
People Excel, Microsoft Excel.
Yeah, who does that? By the way,
kidding me?
Yeah, if anyone, like my wife and I love you. Like Jess, like you're, I'm so glad you're good at Excel because I'm not like, but people that are, I mean, like God
do their
love
whole lot. Like they put like all their finances and like they break down like their groceries and like the bills every month. And they're all in these little cells on this thing.
Yeah, no
and
thanks.
It's
impossible.
Give me a pen and paper.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine is either, it's either written down on like a notepad like this or a notebook. Cause I do have a notebook too. Or the notes app on my phone.
On my phone. That's it.
I mean, that's it.
Or it's just up here.
Or in my brain. Yeah. Yes. I remember the first couple years of running, like when, you know, this, I mean, it's been like an official business for a
right.
number of years now, but even like the first like couple of years, even when I was like actually making money.
Right.
Like I actually never even had a bookkeeper until, I don't know, it might even be less than a year at
yeah.
this point. And I remember when I first hired a bookkeeper and I was like, she's like, well, what do you do right now? I said, nothing. And she's like, huh? I'm like, yeah, nothing. And she's like, well, how do you keep track of everything? I said, it's like all in my head.
Yeah.
And she's like, seriously? And she was like, well, that's like pretty impressive that you've done all of this up until this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, I mean, of course I would write things down, make notes. And,
yeah.
you know, I have the, like I said, I have the notes app on my phone.
Notes app.
I mean,
file.
I got to look now because I
receipts.
I feel like I'm the only one who lives like this.
No.
So that's why I have to tell you this because, and I'm sure you probably have more than me. I'm just telling you, I have 1,879 notes. 1879.
You have me beat there.
Do I?
You do.
Oh, okay. I thought.
But also, because do you delete them after you're done with them?
Well, I don't, because like that's also, I think, another ADHD thing.
Okay.
You forget about it. But like we also, right, like, and I'm sure you're probably the same way. You probably, whether it's written in a notebook or on a phone, like when you make yourself a note, like you make a note to remember something,
right,
but then you forget to check the freaking note. Then you forget about the note.
You forget.
That's why I have 1,800 notes.
You forget about the reminder.
Yes.
That you wrote yourself. So you need like a reminder for the reminder.
Exactly. Yeah. So I haven't figured that second part out yet, but.
Well,
so so back to the bookkeeping. It was just all in my head, you know. Of course, I had my expenses and everything broken down. You know, not in a spreadsheet. Forget that. Just in the notes app.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, a little bullet point fashion. You know.
Yeah,
and it worked.
You know, but that's the thing. Then when you get to a certain point and you do want to continue to like scale your business, I went to I remember years ago, maybe like 10 or 11 years ago, I went to a floral design workshop. This really big floral designer in Atlanta. Her name was Amy Osaba. And I was there for a couple of days and, you know, she was talking about how she runs this extremely successful business. And for me, that's always the part of the creative world that I've struggled with and wanting to make these things that I've become really, really good at a full-time, you know, job or career or business.
Mm-hmm.
Because I struggle so badly with like the business management side of things, and it's not because I'm intentionally neglectful.
Yeah, it's not because you're incapable
or I'm stupid. I just, my brain doesn't work in those ways. Like I've tried so hard to like get it to.
I feel like I'm talking to myself right now because it's.
But it doesn't work.
Yeah, you're right.
And so I remember, you know, she was speaking the one day and talking about how she was the same exact way. And, you know, we started asking her, like, how are you such a creative minded, you know, person, but you like run this really successful business, like you're making a ton of money, like your everything is like meticulous. And she said, you have to accept and acknowledge that you're only good at what you're good at. So like you focus on that, you spearhead that, and then you hire out all of the things that like you know you cannot do well.
Or the things you hate.
Or the things you just don't. Yeah. Well, you know, I think in the beginning it's like you have to do the things that you hate or don't enjoy doing because it's like you're not making enough money to be able to just pawn it off onto other people just because you don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I do think it is essential, the things that you absolutely cannot find yourself capable of doing. At some point you have to stop trying to force yourself to like get better at it or figure it out. And you just got to bite
like,
the bullet and hire it out.
Yeah. It's like, you know, and I'm sure you might be the same way, but like, you know, I'm never going to be a CFO. You know what I mean? Like that's somebody that I'm going to hire, you know, because like, that's not, again, that's part of the business that like, is my least favorite.
Right.
I don't like it. I'm also not good at it. You know, could I, if I really, really want to? Yeah. Am I going to be good at it?
Right.
I'll be okay probably.
Right.
But like that's not the best use of my time.
Well, that's
like,
the thing
the company.
Too. It's not just about, okay, I'm not really capable of doing it or really good at it, but like you're only one person.
Right.
Right. And so, I mean, your time spent, then you start adding more things to your list of, you know, what you have to do and your responsibilities. And then, you know, it starts watering down the content side of things.
Mm-hmm.
That your creative, because your creative brain then is having to like only give certain amount of time to that. And then it's got to like, okay, well now I have to go over here and sit down and do all this business stuff. Like, and that's the, it's honestly the one thing that I've struggled with too, even with just something as simple as content creating for social media, because like I've had people tell me all the time, you could have like a million followers on Instagram. Like your content is so good. Your house, everything you do is so beautiful and blah, blah, blah. I have such a hard time taking my time away from what I'm doing. Because I didn't wake up one day and say I wanted to be a content creator or an influencer on Instagram and the home and garden you know, niche, whatever. Like, I just started doing those things and then posting about it on social media. And like we were talking about, it just was this like organic process that I just started then garnishing followers, and it just kind of grew into that. But that was never like my goal. Like, I never said I want to be an influencer,
right? Yeah.
Like, I want to have it, and I still don't care about.
Yeah, you were just doing something you love, and you just documented it.
And then, like, you know, people wanted to like jump on and like come along for the ride. Then, like, great, amazing, mm-hmm. happy you're here, enjoy, yeah. or don't, yeah. or leave. But like, so I've had such a hard time doing two things to really grow my social media platform. Number one is toning myself down, watering myself down, trying to, you know, make myself, I guess, more appealing to the masses, which, you know, I guess it's a cost of, it's a trade-off, right?
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword.
But for me, I've always said, but why do I have to? Like, I think I could still, you know, garnish a following. You know, there's a lot of people out there who are on social media, and a lot of people who appreciate following other people who are themselves and who are real.
Because I think there's not a lot of people that could do that or be like that. Like, that can actually, you know, when you really sit back and think about it, and I think about this a lot anymore, only because, you know, up until this point, I mean, up until maybe, you know, not long ago, like, mm-hmm. not that I wasn't myself ever before, but I feel like over the years, as like this show has evolved and right. grown, and as like I've grown and the brand, you know, part of me is this brand, right? But it's also like separate from the On the Stacks brand too.
Right.
But I feel like I started to find myself more. But it was also, I think, because over time, and I think this happens like with everybody, regardless of what you do, is you kind of sort of lose yourself at some point in your life,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it was a childhood trauma, yep. like in high school or something with a parent or, yep. or, you know, or something non-family related, whatever it is. But I think over time you actually, a lot of that, and whether it's creativity, like, and just there's elements of you, of your personality and things like that, that kind of just get suppressed, and you don't really even realize it kind of until like further on down the road when you go through some shit, mm-hmm. and you evolve and you grow, and whether you face some adversity, and,
yep.
you know, I've experienced a lot of that myself. And I feel like I'm to the point now where in my life that I finally feel like I really can 100% fully be myself.
You're confident in your own skin. You're yeah. not trying to like
and
put on a...
It's so different now, you know? And
isn't it so freeing though?
It is. It is. And so many people, like, the thing is like, and, you know, a lot of times like when I post whatever it is I post, I mean, I post all kinds of random shit like on different ends of the spectrum, right? But I often think, like, you know, a lot of times when you talk about like people like following you, and everybody follows you for a different reason.
Right.
When you think about that, it's kind of crazy.
Right.
Somebody might follow you just because they like hearing you curse and
right.
like you're a badass
right.
bitch, right? Like,
right?
Or somebody might be like, oh, well, I follow her just because I like gardening.
Yep.
Or I follow her just because of, you know, I don't know, something family related. Right.
right?
Like, there's all different, you know, reasons.
Right.
And when you really sit back and think about it, it's kind of crazy. But also, I think a lot of people will follow, you know, somebody like you or me or anyone else. Because I think there's part of them that sees themselves in you, but they don't really have the
yes.
confidence to actually be that
yes.
person. So they live through you.
1,000%.
Which is like, it's really crazy when you think about it.
And it's sad. I've had so many people say to me, and when I say so many people, I'm talking about people who are influencers in, you know, the same kind of arena that I am, who do have a million followers, who have literally, you know, who I've developed relationships with, who have said to me, like, I wish I had the courage to be how you are and to be able to like share even like a small percentage
right.
of what you do, and, you know, be more honest and truthful. And it is in those moments that I feel bad, like, and it does make me think about, that's the trade-off. Like, you know, I don't want that. But also so many women, I mean, and like you said, you share everything from, like, you know, of course there's the house and the renovations and the gardens and the flowers and the whatever. But like, I also do get really personal and share a lot of my personal life. And I've talked about everything from, you know, my struggle with my son's cancer diagnosis and treatment that, you know, he went through for 3 years. My postpartum depression after I had my youngest son, Carson, and the PMDD that then followed, my struggles with my marriage, and everything that I'm going through now with my divorce. And it's hard to, it's harder sometimes than others to really share some of those things, because it's feeling good when I'm talking about it, like for me getting that weight kind of lifted off my chest, but it is also scary because you don't want people to judge you, like, which I especially people in this area I know do and will. But then when you immediately start getting the response from other people saying, like, you have no idea how much this helped me. Like, I've had crazy shit come through my inboxes. Like, literally people telling me, like, when I, you know, sharing my struggles with my PMDD, women who were talking about, like, having, like, suicidal ideations, like, would have these crazy thoughts of, like, I'm not even, like, I'm not suicidal, like, I'm a happy person, but then every, you know, I would have these, like, random periods, you know, during the month where I would, like, have these ideas of wanting to get in my minivan and, like, literally just drive it off of a fucking cliff. And I never knew, like, I thought I was crazy. I thought I was going crazy. And people in my life, you know, whether it be husband or whoever, like, gaslighting me, making me feel even crazier. I didn't even know what PMDD was.
I didn't either. Know it was a thing. I literally just,
I didn't know it was a thing until I started struggling with it and literally was like, what the fuck is going on with me right now? Because this is insane. And it's so sad. And it's just another terrible example of how our country is failing women in our country and, like, women's health. And it's like, this is something that, you know, I've had 4 babies and never at any point in any of my OB appointments, my gyno appointments, like, anything, do they talk, like, they want to talk to you about, like, this is how you breathe through your contractions. Well, that's great, Sandy, but what do I do when I have the baby and then I feel like I'm like a shell of a human being and I want to die? Like, let's talk about that, not about how to through a contraction.
Right.
And, like, it's just a perfect example of, like, how we're failing.
Yeah, they're not focused on the real problems.
Right. Like, why aren't we talking about this? Because,
like, you breathing through it, like, that has to happen. Like,
I'll get,
like,
through it. My body, yeah. My body, guess what? My body's going to figure it out, because I had one of my pregnancies where it was unplanned, that it was unmedicated. It was a precipitous labor. I'm, like, lucky I didn't have her in the car on the way to the hospital. She came flying out of me. I didn't have time for, like anything, like, nothing, no IV, nothing. Your body is going to take care of itself. Yeah, like, it's gonna we're going to work yeah. through that.
And you're going to have, the doctors and the nurses alongside correct. You telling you and showing you and telling you what to do. Like, but all the other stuff, it's like you said,
my body isn't going to know what to do is when my mind.
Yes. When your mind is saying things, yeah.
And my mind is going, is doing all these crazy things.
You don't have somebody there next to you saying, hey, here's what you do.
Right, this is what this is, and here's how we work through this. Yeah. It's like, you know, and then, you know, they just want to, like, throw a pill at you and call it a day.
Right.
But so I also didn't know what PMDD was until, like I said, I started experiencing. And it was a cyclical thing that I was experiencing. Like, I would feel fine, like, 3 weeks out of the month. And then, like, the week before, you know, my period, I would go into this, like, black hole of, like, serious, like, depression, and my anxiety would skyrocket, and I would, like, be very, like, hypersensitive, like, to sounds, like, people talking. Like, I had to, like, remove myself. Like, I couldn't be bothered by, like, my kids. Like, I would literally have to tell, like, my mom or my husband to, like, keep the kids away from me. Like, I can't. Like, every little thing would just, like, trigger me. And, like, it was a terrible way to live, but I couldn't figure out what was going on. And I started trying to research it. And I pops up, you know, this premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And I was like, I've never heard. I'm, you know, 33 years old and have had four kids, and I've never heard of this until Google just told me what it was.
Did you look and did you like end up going to a doctor?
So then I, you know, I reached out to my doctor and said, this is what I think it is. And, you know, I know doctors hate when patients
they say, oh, don't look online, don't Google
it. But guess what? Nobody else is diagnosing me. Nobody else is doing anything for me.
So you have to do it
yourself. So you have to be your own advocate, unfortunately, with the way that our healthcare system is. It's really sad to say. You do. You have to be your own advocate. And, you know, so I started, you know, working through that with my doctor. But in the meantime, I was talking about it all as I was going through it. And like I said, the response was, I mean, so jarring. Like I would just like cry going through some of these messages from these women. And it's just, it's so sad when you share things, sad, but also I guess it feels good in a sense to know that you're not alone. But that's the beautiful thing about opening up and I think being raw and real and honest, regardless of whether it's, you know, good or bad, is then, you know, these people come out and say like, I'm suffering with the same thing, but I had no idea what this was. And I just thought I was insane, or I thought there was something wrong with me. Like I thought I was whatever. And because of you coming out and talking about this, I went to my doctor and I got the help that I needed. And now I'm so much. So like, those are the things that keep me open and keep me sharing what I share. Because there's always going to be the critics. There's always going to be the people, you know, not just the critics, but like the people waiting by in the shadows. Just like they love, they love to see you.
Every
like,
chance they get.
Oh my God, she's having a bad, you know, she's going through a tough time. They're like, it makes them, which is so sad. It's like, listen, if my misery brings you happiness or peace or comfort or whatever, like, to take it.
Yeah.
Because like, I can't, what a sad existence that must be. Could you imagine?
Yeah, I feel bad for
your
those
own happiness or contentness, like hinging on somebody else's misery or failures. Like,
it's bizarre, isn't it?
It is. But so many people, I don't know.
There's a lot of people that live that way.
I think there's
and there's even more, and even people close to you. And you know, and I'm sure you probably have experienced it as well. But you know, like even during hard times and tough times, like you may find out that the person who's supposed to be there for you is really actually working against you the whole time and lying right to your face.
1,000%. And it's the people, and that's the worst part. It's not about, you expect, you know, like the friends, peanut gallery,
yeah, like whatever, like who cares? Take it or leave it. Yeah,
the people who you thought you expected to be stepping up and like support you or be in your corner or whatever, you know, they're the ones pulling the strings behind the freaking curtain, helping try to take you down or keep you down.
Yeah. And you don't realize it.
Why would that be your initial thought is that, you know, these people who are supposed to be supporting you and helping you, are either, you know, even if they're not maybe, you know, trying to help take you down, they're most certainly not doing anything to support you, or they're just talking negatively about you, adding fuel to that fire, instead of sticking up for you or having your back. But it does that, I think, again, but those people, I've realized that those people in my life, that is a straight, like, it's an envy thing, not because of what I have. Like, I have genuinely nothing that anybody should want. Like, my life has been, I mean, I have, don't get me wrong, I have a beautiful family. I have four amazing children, but my life is nothing to be envied. Nothing. Everything that I have, anybody else could very easily have or attain if they changed their mindset. I don't have, like, whatever, it's not what I have that these people envy or don't like me for. It's my mind. It's my ability to work through things and handle things the way that I do. It just goes so much deeper than, because if they could have gone to the store and bought it, or they could go, then it wouldn't be an issue. But it's that, you have something that these people want, but they can attain through money, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Like they can attain
through. And they're not willing, to do the work.
And they're just not willing to change who they are at the core of themselves, who they are as a person. So they stay miserable and unhappy with who they are, but then they're going to hold that against you
yep.
because you are a mirror of everything yeah. mm-hmm. that they wish that they could be. But for whatever reason inside of them, whether it be, you know, their people around them or for work or for whatever, they can't be who they want to be or what they want to be.
Oh, 100%.
And so they just envy that, like.
Yeah, it's their own insecurities that then come out. And, you know, what you said about, like, you know, people like think they want to be reminded me. There's this, I don't know what show, what podcast he was on when he said it, but Elon Musk, there was this, I see it all the time on Instagram. He said, I think a lot of people want to be me, but they have no idea what it's like to be me.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, and then, you know, he asked like a follow-up question. It's like, you know, my brain is a storm. That's what he's right. like. My mind is right. a storm. And I think a lot of people think they want to be like this, but they don't. They have no idea.
No idea.
And, you know, I think a lot of people would look at that and be like, oh, like, I get it. But I really feel like people don't. Because, like, you really don't. Like, unless right. you've gone through shit and, you know, obviously there's different levels of all that stuff. But at the same time, like people may look at you and see like your success and this and that. And like, they were like, oh, like I want that. I want to be that. I want to be that. But it's like, but you really don't know what it's like.
Right.
And it's like, you think you want it, but you probably really don't.
Right.
You know? And,
I agree.
It just, it resonates so much. And like when you're telling a story, it just reminded me that exact, you know, yep. like I said, I just saw that video just the other day and it's so true.
And
like,
it is
so true.
It's, and again, like at the end of the day, I wouldn't want to live my life any other way than how I were living it. I feel like I have moments or days where I'm like, I wish I wasn't this way. Like, I wish my brain didn't work this way. I wish I didn't feel like I had to make things so complicated sometimes, or could just be happy having like a normal basic life with like a desk job where I just like go in 9 to 5. Like, I can't.
I don't know how people do that,
I literally couldn't do it. Like, and people, I think, might look at that and be like, oh, well, you know, some people don't have a choice. Like, no, like I would fail. Like, they would fire me.
Yes.
I would, same. I would lose
or I would
the
quit.
Job.
Or just quit.
I would quit, or I would lose the job
yeah.
in a week. Like, I can't do it. And again, that goes back to us saying, like, unless you have this type of brain, it's very hard for people to understand yeah. that when you're yeah. saying like, no, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And there are days where I just feel like I wasn't so complicated or complex. I do feel like I'm a very complex individual. And in a lot of really good ways, but also like some ways that I annoy myself sometimes.
I feel that. But
like,
I think other people
will be like, yo, you think am I bothering you? Guess what? I bet you I am bothering me even more.
Yeah.
Like, I am so fucking annoyed with myself right now.
Like, I can't believe I'm acting like I'm being like this.
So annoying.
Yeah.
So like.
Like, you just can't get out of your own way.
Can't get out. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You sometimes are your own like worst enemy.
Yeah.
But like, you know it. Like, you're woke to that.
And you still
that.
Can't really
like,
do
you know
sometimes
it.
You still can't do anything about it.
You can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do. I have. But
I think at the end that's what makes you so great. I think that, like, you know, again, like, we don't really know each other. Right. You know, we through social media.
Right.
But, you know, for the time that we've been following each other, mm-hmm. and I see your work, and it's incredible, by the way. But
thank you.
I think that's what I think the complexity of your brain, because I understand it, because I operate like the same way. But I think like that complexity. And you know, whatever you want to call all that, I think that's what makes you so great at what you do, honestly.
Well, that's the thing. It's the trade-off though, right?
Yeah.
Because,
and that's the part that people don't understand.
You have to deal with the chaos.
You have to deal with that. And people, but they think they want that, but they don't want that.
Right. It's not like just, you know, being able to sit down and read a book and figure it out. Like, mm-hmm. There are levels to this. And are there people in the creative world, I guess, that don't necessarily technically have that creative, crazy mind? Yeah. Can it be taught? To an extent?
Yeah.
But it's a different
It's totally different.
It's a totally different thing. Like, it's a totally different level. And
it's
so,
not,
yeah,
it's
when
not
people
something
say,
you can,
like,
you can't just
I wish
it.
I could just get in your brain for, like, one day. I'm like, no, you do not.
And, like, you'd run.
You would literally, it would be like, you know those fun houses?
Yeah.
Like, at the, the carnivals and the
picnics? Yeah, I could hear the music.
Where it's, like, the distorted mirrors and then, like, that they would run in and,
like, that's what you'd see.
Bang into a mirror and turn around and run
and get
back
the hell
out.
Like, where's the exit?
Get
yeah,
me
where,
where's out
the
here
where's the emergency? Where's the emergency exit?
This is not fun. Why is it called a fun house?
Yeah, why'd they sign me up for this?
It's not fun.
Yeah.
But it is a trade-off. But like I said, and I have my moments of being like, I just wish some days I weren't like this. But at the end of the day, I was like, I can't imagine my life being any differently than it
is. I agree.
I do really love, and you know what I've found too, the older I get, the less I fight it, and like the more I'm leaning into it. And when you stop fighting it and looking at it as such a, you know, a roadblock sometimes or an issue,
or like
or
you have to explain yourself all the time.
Well, that's the other fucking really complex part of this. And again, a lot of it you don't realize, I guess, until you get a little bit older. But like it has created a lot of issues for me too, especially with people, like the way that I talk to people and deal with people and, you know, friendships and relationships. Like, I've lost so many friends because they thought I was just being like ignoring them, or, you know, I wasn't being just this like super active. Like, I'm like, I don't even know where my phone is 75% of the time. You think I'm going to like think to like, oh, let me call them and like FaceTime with them for 40. Like, I'm not that person. And it's not because I don't love you or I'm, you know, don't want to be a good friend. Like, if you called me and you needed something and like there was, you know, it was something like really important, like I would be in the car there, no questions asked, like, where's the body? Like, I am that type of friend. Like, you get the body, I'll dig the hole. Yeah. But like, am I the type of friend or family member who's like,
who's always calling and texting, let's hang out,
like,
and
hey,
yeah,
how's it going? How's the baby? How's it? And it's not because I'm,
yeah,
I
it's
don't
not because
think
you're
it's
an
important.
Asshole. Yeah.
It's not because I don't care. It's just not my brain. Like, it's not how my brain works.
Yeah. I can't wait to send this episode to every single person in my life, because everything you're saying, I mean, I feel like only my wife understands this, obviously, because she's my wife, maybe my mom. But everybody else, I think, doesn't understand this in my life. And like, you know, again, same thing.
You can feel lonely sometimes.
It is.
Isolating.
Oh, it is. 100%. And I've struggled with it a lot in my life. I'll say, like, not really having friends.
Yep.
And it's not really because sometimes I say I'm a bad friend, but I guess I'm just saying I'm a bad friend because I don't.
Right.
I'm not like that person, exactly what you're saying. But at the same time, that's just me being hard on myself, and, you know, but really, it's just like, I'm just not wired that way.
I'm not, right.
And it's like, if it's not bringing value, and especially now, to the point that
well,
I'm in my life now, like,
you
I mean, you have four kids, God love you. I mean, I got two. I mean, two is hard enough.
Yeah.
I mean, four is probably impossible.
Insane, yeah.
But, you know, between kids and business and just everything else, like, you know, no offense to, you know, people that just have a 9-to-5 job. I mean, my wife has a 9-to-5 job,
right,
and she loves it, and that's great. And I'm so happy for her. You know, obviously I can never do it. But like, you know, majority of people that I know, you know, a lot of, you know, and or friends,
mm-hmm,
like they all have like that 9-to-5 job. And when they go home, when they clock out at the end
they
of the day,
they shut off.
That's
their
it.
Brain shuts off.
Yeah.
They don't have
they
to
don't
think about anything.
Yep.
And they do. My brain literally doesn't stop.
Yes.
From the time I wake up until the time I like knock myself out at night.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Until,
like,
until the moment you like, yeah.
Like, I can't, my brain does not shut off. And so it's not like you said, oh, come home from work and then I'm
just chill.
Hanging
it's
out
like,
with
no,
the
there
kids.
Is, there is no
and then
chill.
Like, so then I'm not thinking of anything. So then I'm like, oh, let me text Becky and see how the baby is. It's not because I don't care. It's just literally because there's just a shit storm.
It's just the way it is.
Constantly swirling up here that it's just not what I'm thinking about, and it's not because I don't care. It's just, it's been isolating, and it's been, and I understand that now, but like I always had friends, but I was the one person, and I never understood it then. I always floated. Like, I never could attach myself to like one set group.
So you were like friends with everybody, but friends with nobody, right?
Yes.
That's what I, that's the way I always explain it.
1000%. And it's not because people didn't like me. I had so many friends, but it's almost like I never had, I mean, I had like a couple friends.
Yeah, but you weren't that girl that like hung around with the same five girls like forever
and still like to this day.
Right, yeah.
No, like I still have a couple, you know, of my best friends from high school. I mean, you know,
yeah, but most people all just stayed like in these groups.
They're in clumps.
Like,
whereas they're just in these little microcosms.
You've been able to bounce around between them all. And
they used even in college, like I was I joined a sorority freshman year, but prior to, like, I did summer session at Penn State. So I met a ton of girls before fall semester.
I didn't know you were a Penn Stater. I'm a Penn Stater too. Oh my God. Oh, this just got even better. I graduated 2011.
2010.
Okay.
Wow. Oh yeah.
Damn. Okay. Yeah. We got even more in common.
Chi Omega. So I went to summer session,
okay.
Which was the best summer of my entire life. Yeah. I'm so glad they made me go. But like met a ton of people. And I think people do, I guess the way that most people's minds work is like, okay, I found my crew, like I found my group, and then they like close the doors.
Was it not until college that you feel like you really found like your people? Or at least at that time?
Well, I think in college, yeah, because when you're a kid and you're living under somebody else's roof and you're, you know,
it's high school.
Yeah. Like, you don't know I still didn't know who I was in college. I'm still learning who I am today, like every day, right? And so that's the other thing about friendships is as you're evolving and changing, I think the way that I look at it, and this is not to offend anybody, I know it's going to, but that is not my intent. When I look at the people who have had the same group of friends and no other, like that is it, they're still surrounding themselves with the same group of people since literally grade school, like middle school, high school, through college and adulthood, and they're now in their, you know, 30s and 40s, you're stuck in the mud, sweetie pie. Like there's no, you cannot be evolving and changing as a person but stay stuck around the same like-minded group of people. Like, how do you...
Yeah, from when you were a teenager.
You can't.
Yeah, you can't.
I mean, aside from the fact that people obviously go in different directions with their lives, like some people go on to get married and have children. And like that takes you...
A whole other world.
And like for me, that was crazy because I had Luca when I would... I mean, just right out of college, I had him. Like I graduated in... May, and like he was born in July. Like I was pregnant my senior year at Penn State, so like my friends are still in like party mode, like, you know, just turned 21 22, like the life is just beginning, and I've got a fucking newborn baby at home, like what do I do now? So like I, you know, that of course created, you know, it was hard for me because I didn't have any friends that were my age that were moms. But yeah, going back to like just saying, like through college, I mean, I joined a sorority, but I still, then my friends, they called me Switzerland because we would have, there are all these other sororities and, you know, like it's like catty shit and like sororities always like beefing with another sorority, like this one stole my boyfriend, like this one did this, and like you know, so it was very like Kyo, KD, Tri Delt. But like I would be like, I'd say goodbye to my pledge class. I'd be like, I'm going out with, you know, my friends who were in Tri Delt tonight. And they'd be like, you're what? Like I never closed myself off
to just,
because I did. Why should I?
Yeah.
And why would I? What? Because you don't like them. I can't be friends with these people. So like my brain just, again, from a very early age, never worked that way. Like I never said like, okay, I found my group of friends and now this is it and these are my friends forever. And
I'm sure
this person seems really cool. Yeah. I'm gonna go be friends with them now.
I don't know if it's the ADHD in me, but like I couldn't even if I want to or try to do that, I would get so bored after like 2 days.
Yeah.
I'd be like, all right, fuck you guys.
it's like eating the same thing for dinner every night.
Mm-hmm.
To me.
Yeah.
I mean, like it's just like every different group of friends that I made all brought something different into my life. Like they enriched my life in a different way. Some relationships were deeper than others. Like some, you know, were very, very close and intimate. Some were more of just like, we're just like party, like have good time friends, but like not mm-hmm. really like, you know, we don't like talk about life.
They were
and
just
like
your real going serious. Out party right. friends. Yeah.
But like the, again, like the fact that there are a lot of people out there who can, and it seems more prevalent in small towns like Scranton and, you know, like in this Wilkes-Barre, area.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where it's like they people get in their comfort zone
and they stay there forever.
And they just stay there forever and ever. And to me, that is.
It's bizarre.
Bizarre and also like sad because I have learned so many of the things that I've learned in life. I've learned through conversations with other
new people. Yeah. And just doing different things.
So like I'm in the garden club. Like I am probably the youngest member by like 30 some years. I love kicking it with my garden club girls. Like when I sit down and have conversations with these women, some like 60s, 70s, 80 year old women, I learn more in like 1-2 hour sit. I love it. And there's so much
value in that.
So much. These people have lived twice as long as us. Like you think they don't have shit to teach you?
Oh, they got
sit
lots.
Sit down and open up your ears and like listen. And it's just that closing off because they don't want to, I guess, come out of their hole. They don't want to come out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
But they're not realizing that in doing that, they're just missing out on
everything.
It's like a window to the world. Like, if you can't get out and travel and like go see things and experience things yourself, then the next best thing you can do is talk to people and meet people who have done those things.
On the Stacks will be back in a flash after a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Elevation Wellness, NEPA's premier wellness center located on Mundy Street in Wilkes-Barre. From pro athletes to busy parents, Elevation Wellness is leading the conversation when it comes to bettering your health through integrative medicine. Founded by NEPA native Louis Helmecki, Elevation Wellness offers physician-formulated and guided treatments that are administered by registered nurses. To learn more about how you can experience the benefits of IV vitamin therapy, multivitamin booster shots, non-invasive aesthetics, or peptide, NAD, red light, and compression therapy, visit elevation-wellness.com or follow them on Instagram at elevationwellnessnepa. All On the Stacks listeners will receive 10% off their first purchase with code STACKS at checkout. Call 570-762-9400 or visit elevation-wellness.com to book your appointment today. Elevation Wellness, taking your health to new heights. This episode is brought to you by Burn, the fitness company behind the Today Show approved Burn Board. If I'm being honest, working out can be a real chore, especially as a new dad in desperate need of sleep and cardio. Burn is founded by NEPA native Jimmy T. Martin, and his Burn Board offers a low-impact core and cardio experience unlike anything I've done before. They have hundreds of on-demand workouts that are great for beginners, seasoned athletes, and out-of-shape podcast hosts who love supporting small businesses. My wife and I use it pretty frequently throughout the week, and it's honestly a great way to burn a ton of calories without burning a ton of cash. Not to mention, it's a great tool for skiers, runners, wrestlers, and hockey players. Jimmy is offering all On the Stacks listeners 15% off when they use the code STACKS15. Visit theburn.com today to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15 at checkout. Again, that's theburn, THEBRRN.com to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15. It's time to get on board today with Burn.
We drive the same roads you drive. We face the same danger you face. When you're involved in a car or a truck crash, it's personal. Because we live here and raise our families here. We're invested here.
To learn more, visit Anzalone Law Offices online at anzalonelaw.com. And now we're back on the Stacks.
Then at least go do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Go do that. Like, how else are you learning about life?
Right. I hope
through social media.
Yeah, yeah. I hope you really like her because I not that I didn't like her before this, but not, and the punchline will be coming in a second, but do you like, I'll just start there. Ready? It's no one local. Do you like Martha Stewart?
I fucking love Martha Stewart. Is my icon.
She's my hero.
Legend.
Yeah, oh my
hero.
God. Oh, I'm so glad. Thank God. If you said no, I hate to say it, but I was going to have to end the show and I'd tell you to leave. Did you watch the documentary?
Did I watch the documentary?
Oh, I watched it twice.
I
my
was
wife
born
fell
again after I watched it. I literally came out like I was like, and it's like a low point in my life right now. I'm going through so much. And like I watched that documentary.
Oh, it was rejuvenating.
And
wasn't
literally
it?
Was like, I'm gonna
like,
fucking
fuck yeah.
come back like Martha. Like
yeah.
I've always loved Martha Stewart. Like always.
I never really paid attention to her.
Well,
but obviously, I mean, I can see because of what you do. Yeah. You know, obviously, you can very much
she's
relate.
She's an icon
clearly.
in the industry.
Yeah.
You know, like she's like
yeah.
the trailblazer. Like mm-hmm. she's the one who started like you know doing all of this stuff and then putting it in magazines and on TV.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I've always just loved, but you know, the way that she.
What a badass bitch.
Oh my God.
Oh man. I'm like, it's so funny. Like, so my wife and I were watching
the documentary like literally three times already.
I've watched it twice. I'm probably going to watch it again after this. I'm all fired up again. But, yeah, I think we started it kind of late. My wife always falls asleep kind of early, mm-hmm. not because she's disinterested, just
right.
because she is one of those just falls asleep. Like right. she can be like sitting over in the corner right
that's,
now, and she would
yes,
fall asleep in 5 minutes.
Boyfriend.
Right?
It's really it's yeah. painful. It's hard to. I can't watch any like series with him because
yeah.
then I have to keep rewatching.
Exactly.
The same
yeah. So she fell asleep maybe like halfway through it, and then the very next day, like as soon as we woke up this morning, I'm like, oh my God, like I know you fell asleep, but I'm not gonna ruin it, but I'm like. I gotta say, cause again, like I never, I mean, I knew a little bit about her, obviously all the shit that she's gone through, but never to the level,
I didn't know either.
Never to the level, yeah. but I also like haven't paid attention to her in like forever
right.
other than like her little stuff
right.
like Snoop Dogg here
right.
and there, which is so cool. But anyway, I mean, there was so much that I didn't know about her, until then, but literally the next day I woke up, I'm like, Jess, I'm like, can we watch that again? And I'm like, mm-hmm. you need to like watch it because you fell asleep.
Yeah.
You need to watch the rest of it because it's fucking amazing. Like
mm-hmm.
it is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm like, she's literally my hero. I said
the
it
way
to my,
that
I told
she reinvented herself when like you could
it's,
have.
It's legendary.
People often who go through things like that disappear.
And that was at the
they
highest
crawl
level.
In the hole
yeah.
And they
imagine if that happened to an average person. Like you'd be.
I mean,
what would you do? You're done. You're done.
I mean,
well, anyone, but
anyone. But like
but
the
for
way
her,
that she
at that level
did it,
to come back, like it's
she fucking walked onto set to do an interview in the shawl that her prison friend
yeah,
made for
yes,
her and was like,
yes.
I'm like yes
yeah
she was out there promoting the knitted things with the I, like the way that she just ate it and owned it and didn't come out being this like which I'm sure inside was super bitter and, you know, feeling maybe like a little bit like vengeful and like
yeah.
a chip on her shoulder. And fuck Jim Comey, by the way.
Yeah.
But the way that she didn't let that turn her into this just like outwardly bitter,
mm-hmm.
hateful, negative person or just let it completely crush her and demolish her entire
mm-hmm.
career and the way that she came back and not just came back but like really came back and reinvented herself
it's unbelievable
and what she's been able to achieve I was talking about it when I was watching the documentary a couple of weeks ago and I was talking about it on my stories on Instagram and I've never been paid a bigger compliment ever in my entire life, but I had like 50 or 60 people DMing me like all throughout that 24-hour period being like, I literally watched this documentary yesterday and thought of you the whole entire time.
Yeah, like, I see it now.
I watched
know, like,
this.
Yeah.
And like my whole life, like the way that it's played out, there was a part of the documentary specifically where she's talking about when they bought Turkey Hill. And she was like, you know, I wouldn't be Martha, who I am today, Martha, without Turkey Hill. And like that was such a light bulb moment for me because that's like what I'm going through right now, right? Like I'm mourning the loss of my home and this property that like we bought and I thought was going to be my forever home and like I was going to have this place forever and it was going to be everything. It was going to be, you know, my business. It was my, you know, through the gardens and the workshops and the events and like than having to come to this like abrupt realization that it's not my forever home and I have to relinquish it. And then when I saw the documentary and I saw her talking about how, you know, she wouldn't be Martha who she is today, Martha, if she never had Turkey Hill. And that was just this like pivotal moment of her life, that it was just that property and what that property gave her, how she was able to utilize it and, you know, do the things that she was able to do. And even though, you know, she didn't live there forever and it wasn't, her marriage crumbled and fell apart and like there was all of this loss and, you know, heartache surrounding it, it still made her like what she is today. It got her to where she is today. And like I said, that was such a light bulb moment for me, because, you know, having that same mentality of like, this wasn't meant to be my forever home like I thought it was, and like that's okay. It was brought into my life to teach me so many things. Like, I'm walking away 3 years later with skill sets that I never thought I would have, or, you know, teach myself how to do. Just so much more knowledge, you know. I mean, the things that I've been able to accomplish at that property in just 3 years' time, like, I've never been prouder of anything in my life. And like, now having all of that knowledge and those skill sets and being able to take them elsewhere, you know, to further a career in any which one of those things that I decide I want to do. But yeah, so many things. I mean, she hit so many nails on the head. Like, I was in there watching it. My mom was like in the kitchen. She was at my house, and I would just be like screaming. She'd be like, "What's going on?"
You're like, "Oh, this is fucking great.
This is fucking Martha." Yeah. But yeah, it was.
What a gangster she is.
She was such a gangster.
Oh my God. I love it. And by the way, too. So the Justin Bieber roast, I don't know about you, but I mean, you probably have been following Martha a lot more than, I mean, I never really have. I mean, other than just seeing blips and headlines over the years, but I never actually saw the, what do you got here?
Martha on the Mantle. God. My boyfriend got me.
Look at that.
Martha on the Mantle.
That is hilarious. I love that.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh my God. That is so good. That is so good.
Yeah. He brought it to me on Friday. I was like, this is the best gift anybody's ever given.
That's
me.
Amazing.
I'm obsessed with her.
I am too now. But yeah, so the, what was I saying? The, here's the ADHD.
Yep.
I don't even remember what you were saying. It was something about her.
The roast.
So I never even knew that it existed until I saw it.
Oh, you didn't?
No, no.
Oh, my
So, like,
God.
I never knew. Like, that was
that
the other
was,
thing.
Like, the that was her emerging.
Yes.
Of,
yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like, I never knew the story of how she like kind of came back
and like
what
got
sparked
to know Snoop.
It. Yes,
that's
and Snoop, because they were because they were sitting next to each other, like, and he was laughing his ass. I mean. It's unbelievable like what she has done, and to get up there on that stage that day and like that, like, you know, like you know, I know, you know, like they said in the documentary, like, I didn't know Martha Stewart was funny,
right?
You know, like, and neither did I, right? And honestly, the first like maybe I don't know, maybe like the first half of the documentary, to be honest, I was like, like in a bad way, I was like, she's a bitch, I don't like her.
Well, then
all of a sudden I was
the
like,
majority of the country thinking that about you, right?
Yes.
And like, that's what she had to endure. Like, I'm talking about pre, you know, jail stuff. Like, you see all those interviews and like all the people, the other media people, you know, she just receives so much criticism. Like, nobody is this perfect. Like, you know, she just does everything too good, and she makes it look too easy, and it's not that easy. And like, she had so many people hated her.
Yeah.
Like, really hated her.
And the whole thing was just
she
a sham.
Was a
just
polarizing,
because.
Very polarizing personality, which, again, when I was young, like, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I would just, my mom always had her on the TV, and like, I just knew she like made good food and always looked like really well put together and seems kind of hoity-toity, right? Like when she's talking, like,
seems a little her, a little stuck
like,
up.
But then you like hear her be like, fuck that guy. Like, I'm like, yes,
I'm like,
Martha.
Okay, all right. Okay, now we're on the same page. Yeah,
she's a human, and that's the problem. You know, you get it's a lot of smoke and mirrors, but like you know, you see people in the public eye, and it's like you forget that these are. There's people behind the screen. There's people behind.
Like they're real people.
Right. Like, you know, and there's so much more to them. And I guess that is why I feel like it is kind of important to stay as authentic as I possibly can on social media, because I think it is important to remind other people that, like, I'm a human being. Like, I'm not just
right. Yeah.
You know, here to like, I just don't just like make pretty things and like,
yeah. And I mean, you perform at like a very high level, and that I kind of think of myself the same way. Like,
right.
Because we're always on, like, brains are always going. I'm always doing something, and I feel like because I perform at such a high level, and also I think that's also intimidating. It's intimidating to a lot of people, which then brings on, I'll say, like, maybe hate and envy and all that,
criticism
and all that.
And, yeah.
Criticism, because it's like, again, like, it's I forget, I saw it somewhere, but it's basically the concept of you know, you look at like some of the highest performing individuals, and I think this one actually might have been about a football team, a college football team. And like the coach got criticized for, you know, for like they said he was like too hard on everybody, this and this and that. OK. And his response was, no, I'm not. He goes, we just have a standard and it's up here.
Right.
Why would we lower the standard to.
Because it's making you uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And it's the same thing. Like it's kind of the same concept of.
Why am I going to slow down?
Yeah. Right. Like I perform at this certain level.
Too fast for you.
Like, and it's like, you know, and if, you know. Other people around that want to be part of the team or are part of the team or whatever it is can't keep up and operate. It's like, it's not that I'm an asshole and it's not that I'm being a dick or I'm being rude to you. It's just like, we've outgrown.
It's not working.
Yeah, it's just not working. And it's like, and it's, you know, again, like, why would I lower my standards? And, you know, some people may look at it as perfectionism. And to be honest, is there some there? For sure. I'm not going to lie. But at the same time, it's just I just have a higher standard because I perform at such a higher and different level than I feel like most people do.
Right.
And to the average person, that's very intimidating.
Right.
You know, and you know, I'm not going to apologize for
you
it.
You can't
it's just,
apologize. Right.
Yeah. Because like, what am I going to do? It's just going to harm me.
Again, this is literally just the way my brain works. Like, trust me, there are days where I wish I could just slow down and shut off and be like, you're not going to work today. You're going to just have a nice, relaxing just day.
Chill. Yeah, that lasts
just
for 5 minutes, right?
Literally 5 minutes, maybe 10.
Yeah.
It never, ever works. It's just how my brain operates and my body follows suit. So it's not me trying to be, you know, this like, you know, because people look at that and think like that's unrealistic.
Yeah, right.
It's unrealistic.
Uh-huh.
It's not.
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
Right.
And this is...
It's just the way it goes.
It's just the way it goes.
It's just the way we operate.
Right. Yeah. And so, like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'm not...
Like, I'm not doing it to show off. I'm not doing it to... I'm not doing it to... For any other reason. Just,
one up
I'm,
anyone.
Yeah, I'm just doing like, it. It's just what I do.
Just leave me alone. This is the pace I move at. This is...
Yeah, just people. Like you do you, I'm just doing me.
Every day, people would... And again, I think a lot of it was not, you know, there was no malintent, but I would have so many people, especially when I was working on the gardens and doing things I mean, that was actually psychotic. Like the rate at which I dug out ground with my bare hands and a shovel, like I had no machinery or equipment whatsoever.
Yeah,
like I dug out with a mini anvil shovel and my hands beds to accommodate like thousands of perennials and rose bushes and dahlias and like all these other plants. And I did it in like 2 seasons. And I get that that's crazy. Like, I'm the first one to say, like, this is insane. I know.
Yeah.
And people would message me all the time and be like, you know, you need to slow down. Like, you need to not, like, okay, I get it. I know. But like, it's easier said than done.
Yes.
And especially when I go into, you know, survival mode kind of, or if I'm like going through it, struggling, you know, going through a tough time, I double down, which is like really insane.
Yeah.
Because then it's literally the only thing that keeps
keeps you going.
Me going. Yep. And like keeps my, you know, my body feeling like it's not gonna just like collapse and die, is to keep moving, which I get to most people they would think like the opposite. Like, oh, if you feel like you're like you need to rest. I'm like, no, I need to keep going or else I'm going to die.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, and you know, it's when I feel like I'm getting I'm just getting stagnant, that I'm just, to me, it feels like I'm going backwards.
Yep.
Like I can't do that. Like it's so much.
I agree.
I know my mom watches all these episodes, by the way. So like she, at this point of the show, like right now, she'll have already have texted me for sure. Probably. Cause she'll be like, she says to me all the time. She calls me Billy. Right. You know, Billy, you need to slow down. Like, and I have mom, right. I know I have a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. But yeah, I get that too all the time. Like, hey, slow down a little. Like, mm-hmm. slow down. I'm just like, well, it's 0 to 100. There's no in between. Once I start doing it, that's it. I'm doing it until it's done. It's yeah.
I don't have like a dial.
Nope, there is none.
That you adjust.
There's no tone it down. There's no slow it down. If anything, it's just go faster.
It's literally that's it. I can't. Yeah. I'm right there with you. Yeah. It is.
But I appreciate the reminders. Like I will sure. say, like, I appreciate, you know, my mom and even my wife, you know, reminds yeah. me, you got to eat, you know, yep. things like that. And I'm just like, you know, I know, but like, you know, it's just the way it is.
People like us need very specific people in our lives, right? Because mm-hmm. not everybody, there's a lot of people, which I've learned this obviously the hard way, who like can't handle this. Like this is a lot.
It is.
Right?
I have to say to my wife, like, I don't know how you deal with me, right. But thank you.
But there are people out there who are wonderful and amazing and who are, they can't understand from our perspective, but are at least empathetic and mature enough to be able to try to put themselves in your position and try to understand.
And at least work with you and not be so judgmental.
And like, you know, you have to change or you have to do this or else, but because that was, you know, that was my biggest thing with on my end of things was he always wanting me to, you know, or telling me like I need to change or do things differently or, you know, stop doing so much or whatever. And like, he never tried to understand. He thought that everything I did was a choice and didn't understand like this is just how my brain works and operates, and it's how I talk and it's how I think about things and it's how I express things and it's how, you know, my body moves in conjunction with my brain. Like, this isn't a choice, and by you demanding that I change the entire way that I
it doesn't operate like that.
I can't, like, it's not a choice. But you know, then he would say, well, it is a choice and you're just choosing. Like, so it is really important to make sure that the people who are in your life, especially if it's, you know, like a significant other or mm-hmm. a spouse or a boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever, they really fully grasp and understand what it is like when they come into it, and like know that they can work with it. Mm-hmm. It's not because here's the thing. I really do think like when you come in, like your wife comes, like she probably like helps, you know, enable you in a lot of good ways. And instead of, I felt like my ex spent so much time fighting against who I was and like wanting me to like change who I was instead of, you know, encouraging
and just trying to adapt
and adapt and like turn it, like, because there's so much of these types of brains that can be used for such good,
yeah,
right? And there's so much power and so, and
talk
so
about
many
suppress. Remember, I think it just reminded me back to the beginning. I think right when we first kind of started, I said like something about like there's parts of, you know, you or me like that, I feel like they've been suppressed, and like right. now like you're starting to like you found it, it's coming out, whatever. But
you,
there's still
and you
people
can meet
that's
your full yeah. potential when yeah. Until you have to be able to be all in, mm-hmm. right? And if there's people in your life who are trying to keep shoving you down into the box and say like, no, like be quieter, like don't speak out, don't do mm-hmm. this, don't do that, don't, you know, it's almost like they're making it worse because yeah. you're trying to change into someone or something that you literally physically can't be. And then you're unhappy. And, you know, then they're going to be even more unhappy. But so I think, you know, again, dealing with people with like neurodivergent brains like us, it's so important to have people in our lives who see the positives there and, you know, want to help encourage and mm-hmm. also like pick up, like I was saying, from a business perspective, right? Like, okay, so you know what you're good at. And you hire out the rest. Well, it's the same thing in a partnership, right? So like having somebody come in and say like, okay, I get that like you're super scatterbrained and like you're, you know, you're a million things going on at one time, and like this is what you're really good at, but this is what you're not good at, and like coming in and like helping pick up the slack with the things that you know and that they know are not your, you know, forte maybe. Right. Like, and again, working in tandem and in a partnership rather than working against it. Like, it's like night and day with like my boyfriend now. Like, he comes in, like, tendencies drive him like crazy sometimes. Yes, he never makes me feel bad about them. He'll like, you know, make fun of me or like laugh at me. You know, he'll bring me back down to earth a lot of times. He'll have to like, you know, snap, you know, yeah. Like, oh, Tori, come on. Like, yeah. Let's go.
I'm like, wait, what'd you say? What'd you say? She's like, back. Are you listening? I'm like, wait, what?
But like, he's also been amazing and being like, okay, I know you said, you know, the reason why you haven't been able to really grow your Instagram is because you have a hard time, you know, focusing on like, I to sit down and like, be like, here's all the stuff I'm going to do to create content and then like set up the videos. And like,
overwhelming.
If I'm working on a project, I zone out. Like, mm-hmm. I just want to focus on the project and do the work and create. And like, it ruins it for me to have to then keep like breaking.
Yeah.
To like turn and be like, okay, now I have to like change the angle of mm-hmm. this camera, or like now I have to stop and do this, or I have to like talk people through things. I'm like, this is stupid. Like, I just want to do it. But, you know, telling him this, and instead of him being like my ex, like, this is stupid. Like, what you're doing is stupid. Like, social media is stupid. Get off social media. Like, this is dumb. Like, he's like, how can I help you? Like, okay, so you're super smart and you're super creative and you're super talented, but you're saying you're like not good with the video stuff, or like, you know, really sitting down and focusing on like, he's like, okay, so we sit down and like you spend 2 hours a day, and like that's the time that you can. So having somebody there like that who keeps me in check and like focused when I start going in a million different directions has been so like life-changing for me, because, and it makes me sound like a little kid, but I, in that sense, I kind of am, where to have somebody there who's literally like, Tori,
checking
you were supposed to finish this 3 hours ago, like, do it, like, finish the list, like, do the thing that, you know, you said you were going to get done today. These have to be done today.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do it in like a, you know, condescending way, or like a, you're not doing, it's like, he's doing it to like help me. He knows that I need that little extra push.
Yeah.
And like help, you know, refocusing and concentrating. And so again, you know, having people like that who understand, not only understand, but who then are willing to be like, let me, you know, pick up where you drop off.
Yeah.
Kind of
yep.
situation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I think in business relationships and in, you know, personal relationships alike, for somebody like me, that has been, it's like a night and day.
Yeah.
In terms have you
found like with yourself, I mean, I've struggled with it. I still do to a degree, but I think I've gotten better. Like, with things like that, even though you know you're not good, like, do you struggle with like asking for help from somebody?
Yes.
Like, you just sit there and struggle. Like, instead of just like asking whoever, it doesn't matter who it is. Like,
I'd be like drooling on myself. Like,
right.
So, and be like, okay. No, I'm fine. No, everything's fine. I got it.
Yeah. And obviously I think it holds us back a lot too. Like, even with delegation, things like that, like that's
delegation is very hard for me.
Yes. Me too. Yeah.
Very
Which I'm, hard. I'm getting better at it, and I've got some transitions going on right now too. And I think I'm embracing it, and I'm looking at it now as an opportunity. So, right. Like, I have some transition going on here, and, I found like, now is my opportunity to start to now delegate more. Cause mm-hmm. I haven't.
Have to.
Yeah. Like, I haven't for like, I have, but not as much as I right. want it to, or I've always wanted to. So, but now I'm in a position where, I'm able to like sort of refocus, like I'll say, like the back end efforts of everything right. that go on, like with the business, and I've sort of like, I haven't restructured, not like restructured, but I just looked at everything, the process and right. the procedures and all that. I looked at it and I'm like, okay, now is my opportunity. While there's some change happening, now is the opportunity for me to refocus it and actually start to delegate like I should have probably a long time ago. But it was like one of those things, like I just didn't want to let go of it, even though if it's something that like I'm not the greatest at, I would just continue to do it because like I hate asking for the help and asking for help
and
slash
also
delegating.
Control. It's also not only, it's like you're also relinquished like that control where you're like
you know you're going to do it right.
It's painful.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
It's painful. Yeah, it it's even like with like chores around my house with my kids, like, you know, and then people like make them do these things, and then I'll, you know, have them do it, and then I'm like, I go back and I have to redo it because they didn't do it the way that I wanted them to do it. Yeah. They didn't do it the right way. And it's funny. That's the other thing, Martha. Remember in the one part of the documentary, was she yelling at the woman about
the
knife?
In the kitchen? In the kitchen. She's like, you got to be efficient.
Why would
she's
you
like,
use that knife? Yeah, that was so stupid.
Yeah, she's like, that's not the knife you use. Yeah.
That's not the knife you use. Now do it again. Use it.
She's like, you got to be more efficient. You got to be more efficient. I just said to my wife yesterday.
Yes, Martha. And she's not being a bitch. She's right.
Mm-hmm.
She's right. And that's how you create something successful is to other people. They might look at that and be like, it's just a knife. Yeah. Like, who cares? Let her go. Like, let her use the knife she wants to use. But guess what? It's not the right knife. And she's not the most efficient that she could be using that knife. So she
Right.
And it is the delegation part. And she talks about that too, mm-hmm. like needing to control everything.
Yeah, and I think she did say in there, like when she was in control of everything,
Things fell apart as soon as
she lost control.
She came back. Yes. She had a sellout with the magazine.
Yep.
And you know then it went to somebody else. It went to shit because she didn't have control. Creative control.
Yes.
The show was stupid. She was like, I hated it. They made me do shit I didn't want to do. It wasn't me. It wasn't. But
it's so true.
She found her way back. But it is. It's not for me. It's really not about perfection. I don't think perfection. I know it doesn't exist. It's more about, like you said, knowing things getting done to the best. You know.
Yeah. You have a standard.
You have a standard.
Yeah.
And it's not perfection, but it's. Yeah.
And it's not really anything personal. It's not like, oh, well, like, I don't like the way she did it. It's not even that you don't like the way she did it. It's just not right.
It's not the way.
It's just not done right. Like, you know, like, or efficient. And it's like, or you're doing it a half-assed roundabout way.
Right.
Like, just freaking do it right.
Right.
Just do it right the first time.
Right.
And that's it. And then you know.
And if you can't, then you got to go. Because you're just not right for this job.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
yeah, I know. But, you know, there's obviously a lot of small-minded people that just get upset and offended and then just hate you for it.
Right.
You know, and it's like, then you're the bad guy. It's like, I'm the bad guy because I'm just trying to do what I think is normal. Like, this is normal. Like, this is normal. Like, just having a high standard, doing things, you know, to the best of your ability, you know, give it 100% all the time. Like, what's wrong?
You have to be okay with being the bad guy, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing is like, I've been at that point for a while now in my, like, I don't care about what other, if I did, I certainly wouldn't, sharing what I share and talking, you know, as openly as I do. I don't care about being the bad guy, and I don't care if people don't like me. At least I know that at the end of the day, the people who like me and love me really love me because of who you really are. This is who I am.
Yeah.
Like, whether it's behind closed doors, on social media, out in public, at a restaurant, with my kids, at a playground, like, I am literally the same person across the board. You will never see any other version of me anywhere. And so I sleep really good at night knowing that what I have in my life, I have in full, you know, authenticity. It wasn't built on a lie. It wasn't built on a farce. It wasn't built on, you know, this like untrue, you know, version of who I am or
fake friends,
fake relationship, you know, having to like be somebody who you're not just to get, you know, a deal done or like get, to, you know what I mean? Like, I have nothing,
I don't have time
nothing
for that. Yeah.
Based on fallacies. Like, not one thing in my life do I have that I had to, you know, change who I was or, you know, be something that I'm not or do things that I would normally not do or be proud of. I don't have to worry about any of that. And like I said, I know that there are a lot of people who don't like me, and that's fine. Because I know that the people
You're comfortable.
Who do like me and who are in my life and who love me for who I am. And there are so many people out there who, you know, they might have a ton of friends or, you know, have this great public perception and everybody thinks they're great, but they go home every night and they're like, I'm living a lie. Like,
it's liberating, isn't it?
It's so, I just, there's nothing about my life that, I mean, there's a lot of like stressors, obviously, and like a lot, but like there's no part of my life that I look at and feel like anxiety about in terms of like, there's nothing to uncover. There's nothing in my, there's no skeletons in my closet. Like there's nothing that anybody could find about me, could hear about me that.
Like, hell, I'll tell you.
Yeah. You want to know? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you right now. Ask me the question. I'll tell you. Yeah. Like, there's
And you'll hear it from
nothing,
me.
There's nothing to hide. Yeah. There's no one to hide. And like that feels so liberating. It feels so good.
Mm-hmm.
So good. I don't know how people live the opposite way. I really don't imagine. Either. It has to just chew you away every single day.
I could feel it out. For those people right now.
I feel it in like my throat right now. I'm getting like anxious
thinking about actually that people actually live that way, because it's actually really sad.
It's so sad. And it's not maintained. Like at some point you have to know, like it's going to, you can't stay that way forever.
No,
you can't live based off of a lie. Yeah.
And most people do. And most people do, like, in just in everything, not just a lie, but like most people just go through life doing things they don't want to do with people they don't like for nothing.
It's terrible.
For nothing. And then it gets to the point, like,
and then you die.
Yeah.
And then like what?
Then what?
Then
yeah,
what was
yeah. Like, cause even for me, like looking back on it, I remember, you know, I was telling you a little bit before we started about, you know, me leaving, you know, the family business and doing this. And I remember when I made that decision, you know, this was a few years back, but when I finally like made the decision and said it like out loud, like and told my dad, like I don't want to do this anymore, and I want to do this, meaning this instead. Right. And you know, like I said to myself, like, you know, if I don't do this, or if I didn't at least try, but trying this meant giving up that,
right?
Because again, for a second there, I thought like, oh, maybe I could do both. And now it's impossible. Like someone's like, oh, well, can't you just hire somebody, pay them a real lot to run their company? And I'm like, well, yeah, maybe. But at the end of the day, it still falls on me.
Right.
It's still on me. Right. So like, you know, and again, just knowing the way that obviously we operate.
Like, I was going to say.
Yeah, it can't do that, you know. So I had to make the decision. Like I said to myself, if I didn't at least make this or try to make this a go, I'd regret it for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. 100%. And like that. I felt that in my gut, and you know, not that I haven't made decisions based on my gut in my life, because I feel like I always have, but like nowadays, you know, as the older I get, like it's more conscious. Like I really think about it a lot more, and like those decisions in those moments, and like you just know
for sure,
you just know in that moment if it's right or not, and that gut feeling, like I just you know, of course I do rely on a couple people here and there for advice, like some people obviously that are much further along, mentors, whatever, all that. But at the end of the day, even their advice, I still take it. And then whatever my gut tells
me. You take it, but that is not the deciding factor.
Right. Yeah.
I'm the same exact way.
I take it. I digest it. But
I always say like my biggest, like my greatest quality, and I guess maybe my like, you know, my worst quality is like I wasn't born with the gene of having like a fear of failure. So like I could literally reinvent myself 100 times, or like, you know, say like, this isn't fulfilling me anymore. I'm going to pursue a totally. And I've had so many people say to me, like, what if that doesn't work? Like, what if that doesn't work out? I'm like, well, then it doesn't work out. And then I figure something, like,
but what if it does?
But what if it does?
Yeah.
And how do you live with knowing that you had this gut feeling and this burning passion about something, or this idea or this desire, and you just never followed up?
You never tried. You just listened to everybody else and said, oh, don't do it.
You just let fear of failure be the deciding factor as to whether or not.
Or fear of what everybody else would think of you while you're trying.
But that is essentially fear of failure. Because
yeah,
that's
true.
What,
failure
to what? To you in your own eyes? No. Mm-hmm. It's how everybody else is going to look at it.
Yeah.
That's what fear of failure is. So I guess that's the less you care about other people and their opinions and what they think. I guess that maybe that's, you know, where the, because I have no, I have no fear of failure because I don't care about anybody's opinions at the end of the day.
Right.
But I, like you said, I think the risk of not pursuing or following something like that and then just having to like live with that the rest of your life is so much worse to me.
Oh, 100%.
Than like pursuing it. And then, you know, then at least you could say at the end of the day, I tried, I gave it my best shot.
Yeah.
It didn't work out, but like,
Because like what's the I always say that the worst case scenario, like, you know, and I'll say like in an entrepreneurship journey of like doing your own business, whatever it is, the worst case scenario is that you just go, you just, all the people that like might be like telling you no, or like, oh no, you shouldn't do that, or that's a bad idea, or you're going to fail, whatever. Those are usually people that just have like the regular job, right, and play it safe, whatever.
Right.
And the worst case, like the worst case scenario that's going to happen is you just go back to getting a job, which is what those other people that are doubting you do anyway.
Right.
It's like your fallback. I mean, I don't really have a fallback because I don't really believe in that. But if I were to say like, oh, like if I fail, what would I do? Well, I don't know. I probably still wouldn't, because I just like, I can never work for somebody. Like, right. So like I would either quit or get fired. Like I just can't really work for
in
anyone
the
else.
Same way.
But again, like worst case, like worst to the 10th degree is you just get another job.
You just get a normal
job. Which is what 97% of the world does.
Right.
I mean like that, if that's the repercussion, well, hell, I'm trying.
Right. Right.
I
couldn't agree with you more. And that's why it's so hard. You know, people always look at me kind of like sideways, like what today, you know, yesterday you were, you know, wallpapering somebody's house, and now you're saying you're offering garden design and you're selling flowers. And then to them, like, just pick a path, like just do one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, there's no safety here. There's no, I'm like, I don't want that. Like, why can't I do it all?
Yeah.
Why can't I do interior design and, you know, do millwork and wallpapering for people and, you know, hold gardening workshops and grow flowers and, you know, to cut and sell to people and to like, why do I have to fit into this one little box?
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think, but again, it's just blocking out the noise, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more noise you let in, the harder it's going to be, I think, to convince yourself to follow your gut.
Yeah. Or that you're on the right path.
Right.
Yeah.
So like you said, like, you know, you take people's opinions or advice into consideration, certain people's, but you have to block a lot of the other noise out and, you mm-hmm. know, just chalk it up for what it is. But then ultimately you have to, that deciding factor has to be your gut instinct. It can't be.
Yeah. Always.
Yeah.
So what's next for you?
Oh God. I mean, I really, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm going to be buying a new house. So my focus right now is on that. And I guess I am kind of right now at this, like, crossroads of having to decide, like, as I'm just saying, like, why do I have to decide what I want to be and stick to it?
Yeah.
But like, I do have to really
now, but you have a little pivot moment here.
Decide like where I really want to lean in. Like, do I want to lean in more on the social media, like influencer, you know, that kind of pathway, and try to make that more of a living? Because everything that I've been doing is just little side, you know, good money, like on the side. But I didn't need any of those things to sustain me or my children, you know. But like now that I'm on my own, it's like I have to give everything else up and just pick like one thing to do. But I do need to decide on like what's going to be my primary mm-hmm. focus, and then what is just going to be like hobby
if
stuff
you
on the
other
side,
time.
Like
yeah.
right. And so it's like, do I hone in more on the, you know, the interior design and the, you know, that kind of stuff locally, or do I do the, you know, the internet, you know, social media stuff? And, you know, so I guess I'm kind of at that crossroads right now, just trying to figure out what's going to be most beneficial to me, you know, not just financially, but also with my time, you know, with having four kids and like, you know, a lot going on. But it will always be, I will always be in this creative place. Like, I'm never going to not be doing something where I'm creating, growing, making something beautiful. You know, the new house will be exciting because this is, like I said, I get to flex my creative muscles again, which, like, I finished the old house, the last house, like, so quickly, because I just, like, wanted to be done. I wanted it to be comfortable, and then ran out of, you know, started running out of projects. So I'm, like, really excited to be, you know, with, like, a fresh mindset and a fresh set of eyes, come into this new house and be able to do some things that I'm going to be able to showcase how, even from just the house that I'm in now, how my eye and, you know, my talent in terms of design and decorating has just continued to evolve and become better. So I'm excited to do that. And I said I'm giving myself, like, the winter to just, like, kind of get resituated and resettled. And then I'm going to, you know, figure out in the spring which direction. I don't have gardens. I'm not going to have, like, a big, you know, property anymore. I'll have, like, little gardens, I guess, at the new house, but not property to, like, grow and sell and, like, do all the stuff that I was doing at my last one. So, like, I know that's off the table for right now. I'm not going to say forever, just for now, because growing is my, I mean, gardening is my favorite. There's no way I'm going to just go forever without, you know, getting back into that. But yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wherever the wind takes me.
Yeah. Well, this was great. I'm glad we finally connected
to
do this.
I know, me too.
Yeah. I don't even know how the hell we even, I don't remember.
Just from, like, you know, watching your stuff and hearing, like, a lot of the conversations that you would have with some of your other guests on your podcast, but not even necessarily the specific conversations, but watching you and, like, hearing your mindset in those conversations, like, your take on a lot of things, there were, like, so many moments where I would, like, catch myself being like, he's like, we're so similar. Like, I feel like we would, like, really click and connect. Like, he has the same kind of mindset and approach to a lot of things, and sees things in very similar lights that I do. So I'm glad that we were able to to connect here and have a good conversation.
Yeah, there's nothing more that I love with connecting with a fellow ADHD
like-minded individuals, you know?
Yeah, because it's like, oh my god, like, somebody in the world gets me. Yeah. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, but beyond that, I mean, like, in all seriousness too, like, jokes aside about the ADHD stuff, but just in general, like, the mindset of just, you know, entrepreneurship and just, you know, the way that we think and we do things, like, I, you know, like, just like you said, to echo what you said, it's like we are, like, aligned in, like, those same, you know, like, that same way of, like, doing things, and you know, I think there's a lot of value in people hearing conversations like this, because I think, again, just going back to what we said earlier about a lot of people feel like they can't be themselves. A lot of people are living through, you know, somebody like you or I or anybody else that they may follow online,
right?
Because maybe they don't have the courage enough. And I think by, you know, people like us having these conversations and sharing these stories and telling, you know, sharing, like, how we got here, what we did, what we didn't did, what worked, what didn't, good, bad, and different, all the above. I think it, and I mean, at least it's my hope, and I know it's true because I, you know, as you said, you've gotten messages before, but my hope is that, you know, I'm not, you know, I think people are going to look at this and be like, and get the courage to do something, even if it's just something, just to take the first step. You don't have to go, you know, 100 like we do.
No.
But there's just the courage, just hearing these things, hearing these types of conversations, and just, again, like, it's just an authentic conversation. Like, obviously, you know, some people may only know you or see you from social media. I only knew you and knew you from social media prior to you walking in here today, right? But you are, just like you said before, you know, after this conversation, you seem exactly like you do on your page. I mean, there's really no difference, I feel like. But again, I think it's just, it's good for, it's so good
it
for
is.
People
that,
like
that's
to hear
why
this.
I share what, I mean, you know, and there are, of course, the people out there who are like, oh, you know, she just, they talk about this stuff for attention, you know, she's sharing this. I don't need attention from
really
strangers on the internet.
Yeah,
like,
please.
I have kids who are obsessed with me.
Yeah,
like,
just unfollow, like, me. I really don't,
like,
care.
I could, like, I could get attention in a million different ways if I want to. I don't have to, like, trauma
dump
or, like,
from
share
you.
I do it because
you want
I
to.
Want
because
to,
you want
because
to.
I want to help other people. I want other people to feel seen and heard and feel human connection is, like, to me, it's just, it's one of the greatest you know, segues into like, I mean, so much of what I've learned in my entire life and so many of the things that have pushed me in the directions that I've been pushed in are through either conversations that I've had with other human beings or reading books by other people, like, yeah, like Viktor Frankl and like, you know, Glennon Doyle, like, it doesn't matter who it is. It's like hearing words, hearing, yeah, these people's experiences and then how they took them and applied them and learned from them and, like, you know, the outcome, like, this is so important. These conversations are so important. Mm-hmm. And not just for us, like, do we benefit from them? Yes. Like, this is super cathartic and, like, yeah, like, you know, I love, again, just connecting with other like men, but like for other people who haven't had those light bulb moments yet,
right?
Like this, all this could it be takes is like one conversation, yeah, or them to hear one thing to, and be to like,
change their life. Yeah.
You know? And so screw the people who think that, you know, it's inappropriate to, you know, openly talk about or share personal experiences, mm-hmm, or get deep with, you know, things that shouldn't be shared. But like,
yeah,
a lot of these conversations really fucking help a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I've been on the receiving end of that. So if I'm in a position to do the same and share, you know, my life experiences or, you know, whatever with other people and can help other people through that sharing, then like, hell, why, yeah, not?
Yeah. So if anyone wants to connect with you, find you online, where do they need to go?
I mean, you know, Instagram is pretty much the
catch-all,
the primary. Yeah. Not big on like TikTok or anything like that, but I'm on Instagram at Tori Senafont Home, and everything from, you know, home, garden, DIY, trauma,
all of it,
relationships,
bag it all up. It's all, yeah.
Yeah. Lawyers. Yeah, we just talk about a little bit of everything. I call my Instagram account, I say it's like a Chinese buffet.
Okay.
Because, like, you know how you go and, like, you get, yeah, Chinese food, but then, like, they randomly have, they like, have, that like, one sidebar like, that's, like,
and, like,
pizza and then, yeah, like, wings. But then they have, like, crab legs sometimes. Yeah. And, yeah, there's, yeah, like, a salad bar. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, you it's, like,
still
a little
kind of, you can still kind of get a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything, kind,
yeah,
of.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not just one very particular, right, type, yeah, of, yeah, cuisine.
Yeah, and if you don't like it, there is an unfollow then button. You, yeah, you know, in case
you can just turn around and,
yeah,
walk out.
Right, yeah, in case anyone, yeah, is unaware, for, you know, mm-hmm, the people that keep watching all my content, mm-hmm, I see you, thank you.
Well, yeah, the, there are a lot of them that hit the unfollow button, but still
oh, yeah,
punch your name, yeah, in and, yeah, search.
Or they got profile, the friend, like, you know, you could tell who, yeah, you can always tell who, like that one outlier friend is who, like, still follows you, yeah, just to, like, report back to everybody, like, else.
A, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Oh, it's real. Yeah. It's real. It's,
oh, I know.
And we all know who you are.
And we,
guys,
know, so, who you are.
Yeah, so
we know exactly,
stop,
who you,
stop,
are.
Stop pretending like you're fooling, yeah, everybody, because, yeah, like, we see, yeah, you. But thanks for the engagement and everything.
It
else,
does help.
It helps the algorithm.
Actually, what they don't realize is, like, people be like, I'm not going to follow them to give them the follow, but then they'll, like, just come and watch the content. Like, it actually really helps, yeah, my engagement numbers to show Instagram that I'm getting a lot of non-follower engagement with my account.
Yeah.
So yes, yeah, thank, so you, thanks, so much. It's, yeah, wonderful, yeah, for my numbers.
Yeah. Well, this was great. It was great finally meeting you, and yeah, looking forward to,
I
looking
hope
forward,
we'll be able to, you know, do it again soon.
I was just, you took the words out of my mouth. I was gonna say, I can't wait to see, like, where you're, yeah, you know, where you land next, yeah, and I'll be following your journey
base,
and,
yeah,
and definitely have to have you back on.
Oh,
I mean,
for sure.
I mean, this, I feel like we barely scratched the surface.
Barely.
There's so much.
Barely.
And I hope everybody that's watching didn't get
too overwhelmed
with our ADHD conversations.
I was just thinking that. I'm like, I hope we were.
Yeah, I don't know if we were. I mean, I feel like it was on track, but again, I mean,
I think we only maybe lost like our place a couple times.
I think so. But, yeah, but whatever. If you didn't like it, fuck
whatever.
Off.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
This is what it's like to be an right. ADHD brain.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Or two of them at the same yeah. table.
All right, Tori Donahue on the Stacks in the Sweat 10 studio. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Bill.
If you want to see more On the Stacks content, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/onthestackspodcast or search the hashtag On the Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.